We are live once again. Good evening, everybody. Yes. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the BA Show. Monday, the 4th of December, 2023. It is the third last show of the year. Can you believe that, Pom?
I can't. Time travels, though, fast as you get older. My pop always used to say it just seemed like yesterday that we had a Christmas BA show and we're nearly at Christmas. So there it is. The sands of time wait for no man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I feel like tonight will be a very efficient show. I think we should start with, you said the word Christmas. Last week, you got on me about the Christmas party. So... We do have an update tonight, ladies and gents, on the end of year catch up, get together, party. I think it's just more of a catch up. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, doing a nice end of year giveaway for the people. So we'll get some details about that coming up shortly. But for those of you on YouTube, you will see a link at the top of the chat about the giveaway. But we'll touch on it shortly. Pom? 1 week of training, mate. The boys are back.
Boys are back, eh? They're back in working hard to bring home number 17, aren't they? So, I mean, I've got to say, shout out to the media team. I think they're the only AFL side that hasn't used the phrase burning down the track or burning the house down or any. So, well done on that, because that is... outside of speed danger game, that and percentage, that is probably in my top five of annoying phrases. 2 days back at work, someone's burning the track down.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed the business as usual approach from the club. They just released a video up on YouTube maybe an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. Interesting. It's a new style that I've seen from them. Maybe they used to do it about 10 years ago, but they're basically driving with Sam Walsh in the car. Sam Walsh is driving to training and they did like a 10, 11, 12 minute interview. Now talking about why they came back early, and Walsh was talking about the fact that there's a continuity amongst the group and the coaching staff. It's the third year with the same coaching group, third preseason that they're about to enter. And he was talking about the fact that they can hit the ground running because of that fact. So, yeah, a bit of an add-on from last week. It's I'm pleasantly surprised at how low-key they've kept it.
It's good. I mean, I think it goes more to show that people like you and me, Terry, we rely on the club to talk. So we've got content. And at this point in time, genuinely, we've got maybe a few niche phrases to digest. Someone's muttered the F word finals. It's very low key. It's, dare I say it, a football club?
It's about the football. It's professional and it's mature. There's a maturity about it. That's what it is.
There's a different vibe about them, isn't there? Say less, do more. Yeah, I like that.
Do more. One of the questions was around the expectation, and I thought, well, she answered it well. It was around, you know, how do you go into the season knowing that you made a prelim, the talk is, well, the expectation is to go this to the same level or do better. And he referenced 2022, and he was open about it, saying, you know, they maybe focused a little too much on the result, so on finals and not how they were playing. So, I don't know, good little tidbits all around, mate, for us to get excited about.
Well, they're learning, aren't they? I mean, you've got to remember, I mean, one of the more disjointed lists when you rank, what is it, sixth for age, 16th for games played, I think, off the top of my head, Carlton. So mm-hmm. It feels like a lifetime ago I did the postseason analysis. But it's quite disjointed. So do you know what I mean? It's quite disjointed when you look at it from that aesthetic with the team. But one thing these boys have, and guys and girls who are a bit older in chat will know, that sometimes pain, suffering, and torture makes you mature quicker.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Experience is the quickest teacher. So these boys, literally in sporting terms, have been through the ringer. So 14th most experienced side, 6th eldest in the league. But you'd say mental maturity would be one or two. Like, these boys have fucked things up from an unfuckable position. They've unfucked a fuckable position. Do you know what I mean? They've succeeded, they've failed, they've done everything. They've been the hero, the villain. Like, these guys who were like 3-year players, 4-year players, have probably got the life experience from a sporting avenue of a 10, 15-year player. So, real mature group.
And I think throughout all of that, they've stayed together. It's the same group. It's very much a shared experience, minus the draftees from, you know, 16, 17.
Well, I mean, you look at it, do you know what I mean? And they've got life lessons. Paddy Dow, much heralded. Lockie O'Brien, top 10 pick, no longer there now. No longer there. So you've got the warning signs that coming with confetti means FO. You've got Matty Cottrell, who's become a staple, and he was a pre-season pickup. You've got players like that in that. You've got Ollie Hollands, do you know what I mean? Who this time last year was being told he was too small to play football, being a staple of the side. Blake Akers, jettisoned by two clubs. He's now a staple and a Folktown hero. You've got so many lessons in that group. And I think John M nails it. It's the attitude of these boys. These boys are attitude junkies, aren't they, really? It can't help but fail. And I saw some pictures of Elijah Hollands, and I don't want to be that guy, but allow me to be that guy for a minute.
I saw
pictures of him in a... He's obviously ordered a medium when he's a large, fair play to him. But from 6 weeks ago when he was in court to now, you can see that there's a little bit of tonnage there, where I was watching them pictures of him at court thinking... He's maybe smashed the puffy dog's ear. He looks preened and ready to go. And how good was that vision of Ollie Hollands chasing him? That them kind of things turn me on, because having brothers myself, there's nothing better than being legally allowed to batter your siblings. And sport allows us to physically harm our family members, which is always good.
Yeah. Well, I did see that they're going to be living together as well. Ollie did the Summer Sessions podcast and confirmed that. So that'll be interesting. And you talked about this about a month ago or so when we were talking about the Elijah's matter, the environment that he's in now. I think also the added element of the fact that it's a one-year deal, he knows he's got to be his absolute premium for 12 months. At home with Ollie, all the tools are there. If it doesn't happen, if he's not able to turn it around in the next 12 months, then I think that'll be the writing on the wall for him. But I'm very bullish on that dynamic.
Mate, honestly, you've got a brother, you've got a sister as well. I was the middle one, so I've played both parts, being the kid brother and being the boss brother. There's nothing worse than when your little brother does better at you than something. And I still have that now at 38. If I ever find out he's done something and someone praises him, like I get mentally angry inside, because that's my limelight. Do you know what I mean? That's my limelight he's stealing. So great setup for Elijah. And, you know, knowing Ollie and speaking to him last year and then hearing him this year, just to see the maturity in his approach, like from chatting shit with me for an hour on an interview to now, to see the growth in him, that's amazing. And good luck to Elijah, do you know what I mean? And to be fair, he's walked into 80,000 people, do you know what I mean, who love him already. Yeah. 100,000, 200,000, we love him. We love him to pieces. So he can't but succeed, can he, really?
Yeah, fair. When you spoke to Ollie, I did think of this before we came live on live. When you spoke to Ollie in your draft series, did you earmark leadership when you did speak with him?
Yeah, definitely. When he tells you the story about COVID, I think that's a really good question for young people. If you ever want to see if your kids are leaders, it's the ability to deal with crisis is something that's natural. It's not learned. I don't believe it's learned. I believe it's something that's inherent. And he tells you the story about COVID, that he was getting into trouble for not being the fittest and he needed to improve that. They were playing. He couldn't really work on it. Then COVID happened. And the first thing he did was approach his dad and say, can we get a treadmill? And he became obsessed with running and then went back post-COVID and being the bottom percentile of running to being the best and taking out the time trial, like winning it by like 30 seconds. And hearing that and thinking, okay, he was 16 at this point in his life, that shows real problem-solving, situational awareness. Because speaking to some of the draftees, they were kind of honest with me. They were playing FIFA, playing Call of Duty, eating pizzas, eating everything off Uber Eats, trying to complete it. To hear that shows that he's got that early signs of leadership. And you hear Ollie speak, he's a thinker, and you can see it with the brothers. Genuinely, this is a stereotype, so don't be offended if you identify as this brother, but genuinely, you always get the class clown brother and the people's favourite. And speaking to Ollie, he did remind me of my younger brother a lot, that everything he did, the sun shined out of his ass. And you could see Elijah, the way he talked about him was probably more of the impact brother, impulsive brother. So between them, that's perfect as a combination, because I think Elijah probably brings out the dare in Ollie. And I think Ollie probably brings out the maturity and the thinking out of the two of them. So I think living together, they're both going to complement each other. But I do see a leader, and he's a wonderful human being, Ollie, full of love. Yeah. And not many young men I meet have a good soul like that. You can see he's got a real good soul.
Yeah. No, I think having seen a little bit of the footage, the way he's talking, the way he's getting involved in those first to four-year players, and then now for him, Ollie, that is, and his own development, getting to train next to Sam Walsh a little bit more this preseason because he didn't get to do it last year. Ollie's got a little something to be excited about for us, I think.
The only thing I'm sad about is when I interviewed him, when I asked him what's he looking forward to in the Premier, to playing in professional football, it was chasing down his brother and smashing him into the boundary. So that made me sad that we won't see that. Do you know what I mean? Because he genuinely wanted to do that, but I mean, obviously, the next best thing is lifting 17 alongside your big brother, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Next item on the agenda. Pom, you said you wanted an end-of-year party. We're doing one. Gave into peer pressure. No, it was really all about the venue, and I think at the end of the day, we found the best venue. Given who we are. So for those of you who tune in every week, we're excited to hang out and just grab a low-key drink with you this weekend. So this Saturday, the 9th of December, 3 p.m., we are going to Norton's. A lot of people in this chat know Norton's very well. I spoke to John Holden recently, earlier today. He's got some great stories. If you watch his Carlton People episode, you'll know that he partied with the 95 team at Norton. So we've got a section at Norton's Hotel this Saturday, 9th of December. Come through, 3 p.m. Got the place booked, the section booked from 3 till 6. Come on down, say good day. We'll all be there. And Pom, we've done it. We've got a party. It's official.
Christmas party, eh? It would get. Hey, I'm happy about that. I can't wait to see everyone.
Yeah, nice. It'll be good. I'll put some more details up on Instagram story and in the Facebook group as well. But I think those of you who were tuned in, well, those of you who tune in every week, and those of you who, in particular, tuned in last week, there you go. Now, secondly, I told you guys that there would be a giveaway, and there is a giveaway. You will see, if you're on YouTube, at the top of the live chat is a ticket, a link that takes you to an Eventbrite page similar to the 10K stream that we did. And basically, there's going to be two prizes. So firstly, I told you, the bomber jacket, the actual jacket, is going to be drawn out on the 18th of December. So in 2 weeks from today, you will have a chance to win this. And then the second item will be the Guernsey underneath here. This is Corey Durden's player-issued Guernsey for this year, 2023. You'll see that it's signed here. It's also signed on the back. So that'll be second prize. First prize will be the actual jacket. And I'm excited. I'm excited to give it away. I'm excited. It's going to have a nice home. So basically, the Eventbrite link, click it. A ticket or an entry, I should say, costs $17, if you know what I mean. And that's what we'll do. At about 7:30 on the 18th of December, Monday, 2 weeks from now, I will draw it live here on the show. So get your tickets.
There you go, mate. What's the capacity at Norton's?
The capacity at Norton's? I've told them to expect up to 60. But we'll see.
Easy. Smash that.
Yep, we'll see.
Smash
we'll
60. See.
Yeah. We will do a proper season launch like we do every year in probably that first week of March, just before the first game, opening round. But more details about that later. But yeah, Saturday is Saturday, and the giveaway is the giveaway. So get your damn tickets. There you go.
Do you know what I mean? And you get a bit of Corey Durden heritage.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Next up, Pom, I started doing the season previews.
I saw.
For 2024. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but last year we did them live. I didn't want to talk about any of the boys last year after the way the season ended. But I stumbled across a question for both of them that I've put out so far, Jack Silvani and Jesse Motlop. So Jack Silvani, where are you in the camp of he needs to find his own position? You know how we've been talking about what is he? And the discussion always turns to, is he a forward, is he a ruck, is he a defender? Where are you in that discussion? And why can't Jack Silvani just not have a position?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, you've seen it in the draft this year. There's been quite a few utilities, as Champ Starter likes to just throw that name out there. And it can mean a variety of things as well, because I've seen players referred to as utilities by Champ Starter who play mid, forward and back, where traditionally it's a back, forward, ruck. I think he's got to nail down a position, but I think he has. I think that third forward role is Jack's position. I think the fact that he can play in the ruck or temp in the ruck, let's call it that. I wouldn't say play in the ruck, I'd say temp in the ruck, is a string to his bow. And if he does play VFL this year and they continue with the down the back, that only helps cement his position in the squad. For me, I feel like it's interesting that Ashton Moyer has been signed. And Nick Austin's made a big thing about saying he's basically Jack Martin. Voss has alluded to that half forward line is a weakness. Nick Austin mentioned that when they went to the draft. So you'd say now that he's really got a new competitor in Ashton Moyer, and you can see that Voss doesn't like playing Martin and Jesus unless Jesus is playing that ruck role. So it's going to be really interesting for him. And, you know, for young Ashton, Jack Martin, that's a real competitive position now. Suddenly, it's a bit like last season where we had no wingers. And then suddenly we bought a load. We haven't really had a high half forward yet. Suddenly now we've got four, which is really exciting. So you can see Nick Austin, that's like kind of his recruitment mantra. Shit, we'll just buy three. Do you know what I mean? And one of them will stick. And so far it's worked out pretty well, that strategy from Nick. So I think he's got a role. And I think it's going to be a tough role, which... repeat that for 40 players on the list.
I'd like to see him, no matter where he is on the field. I think with Jack, I'd like to see him play with a bit more No, aggression's not the word. I'd almost like to see him play with a bit of arrogance, like a little bit of, I'm one of the older players in the league now, and I run the show here. I'd like to see when that happens. And I think naturally it will, the older he gets, because the older he gets, the younger everyone else gets, as the new sort of crop come through. But I think for a lot of Jack's career, he's been one of the younger players in the league. Now he's in this sweet spot, you know, in that second half of his career. And I'd like to see him play with more confidence. I don't know if arrogance is the word either. Do you get what I'm saying? Like just some aggression.
Mate, I will never complain. I think arrogance is one of them words nowadays that everyone frowns upon, but everyone craves to have. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No, I agree with it. I think you look back at it was Port Adelaide, wasn't it? The game where he went cocoa bananas.
Kick from four? Memory. Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, you kick four, and you look at that, you look at like his starting position, started in the forward pocket, worked high up the ground as a wingman. I mean, as a high half forward, you know, interchanging, being that conduit from the wing that we always talk about, that target from the wing. And he took the game apart. Let's be honest, Jack did that game. And it'll be an interesting one because that game as well, if you go back and watch it, everything kind of came into place. It was probably the last time we saw Harry and Charlie compliment each other. When Harry came back, it seemed to, especially when the finals came, it seemed to stifle both of them. Jack was that wonderful kind of player to work off, and we saw Charlie work off him well. He took his goals well. He's an opportunist. I think there is an element of arrogance probably needing a bit of confidence. I think that only comes, though, from, I do feel sorry for Jack in a way, because since Michael Voss has come, he hasn't really had a bona fide position. I say this with all due respect. I feel like what's prolonged his time there was the fact that he was jettisoned into the ruck and became fair. That auxiliary. It would have been interesting if Pitonet had never got injured, what would have become of Jack, because it felt like Carlton didn't understand what his best position was. And then, like Sayers said, once he had the injury, do you know what I mean? We went another way. So I feel like he's got an important role to play. And you know what? I would like, part of my sick sadisticness, I'd love to see him looking at the VFL team. One of my favourite moments was seeing Ben Crocker be delisted, which excites me because it means that Jack maybe can go back to being a forward, which I think will be exciting for the VFL, but also put a bit of pressure on Harry. And I feel like that's the next development for Harry and Charlie, having a guy that's ready. Because at the moment, they're probably the last two players on our list. We don't have a replacement. Harry Lemmy's too wet behind the ears. Hudson's got a long way to go. I feel like if Jack can take over Ben Crocker, suddenly if they have a bad game, we can be saying, well, he's banging him in.
I never thought about it like that.
Well, that's what's made us better. It isn't the players at all. It isn't the coaching group. The biggest motivator is now we've got seven players to play each line. They're the only two that don't have competition. Do you know what I mean? They don't have competition. You saw what happened with the wings. Lockie O'Brien was our best winger in 2022. Now, where is he? He's playing for some netball club somewhere, isn't he, or something? Playing country football or something?
I don't know, actually.
No, isn't he? I can't remember. It was. He signed for some football club, football and netball club thing. But that's how quickly this game can change, because once you get that competition, you see the real player, don't you? You see the real man. You see, is he motivated? And I want to see Jack Silvani play full forward for the VFL side, and like he did as a junior, like he started out for us. And then suddenly they've got a bit of pressure, haven't they? Harry's got a bit of pressure. There is some consequence if he doesn't sort it. And I think that would be better for the club, better for Jack, and better for the whole Harry Mackay as well. Because it must be horrible for Harry, because there isn't really any real-life consequence.
That's true. Ood, hello, mate. Definitely see you at Norton's. Bailey McCabe, wow, with the $3. Boy, oh, boy. I love these being back. I don't even go for Carlton. Mate, you'd be surprised how many people don't go for Carlton that are still here. It's the people's chattel.
It's good, mate. No, spot on. But yeah, Jack's got a role for us. And I think, like, you know, obviously that's it for me. Jack's that standard setter. And I don't think the 22 is as locked on as some people think it.
Yeah. Chills, open training that you were asking about. Yeah. It's the Saturday, the 16th of December. It's that final Christmas session before the boys take, I think it's a month off, or the club. So yeah, that's on the 16th of December. Peter V, Sauce is the ultimate utility 23rd man, and he is celebrating 37 months as a member of the channel. Peter V, thank you, mate.
That's 3 years and a month. Fuck me.
Wow.
That would be my second longest relationship, that. By about three years.
What's your first?
Zoe, what are we now? Be 11 years.
What about you and I, mate? 4 years. 4 years strong.
Yeah. Contrary to popular opinion, we haven't slept together, though, have we? Well, yeah, it would go Zoe, Terry, and we won't say the girl's name. Oh, dear. Yeah. We won't embarrass her.
All right. The next one was Jesse Motlop. Now, I remember doing this with you last year, and I remember saying, I don't want to put expectation on him, calm it down, second-year player, and you were saying, nah, he's got it all. He's got what it takes to overcome any of that burden or expectation. So now entering Jesse's third season, I feel like players talk about it a lot. They talk about needing 3 to 4 pre-seasons. What's the ceiling of Jesse Motlop?
I think he's had a career where I really do feel sorry for Jesse, because I feel like Eddie Betts is the anomaly. And I always mean this in the nicest possible way, but Eddie Betts, his best football wasn't at Carlton Football Club. But I feel like Carlton fans see every small forward as Eddie Betts, and Eddie Betts is a freak of nature. Do you know what I mean? But you look at Jesse's game, and then you look at the other best small forwards in the league, all of them have similar trajectories to him. And last season, his game-by-game numbers are outstanding. Do you know what I mean? Ranking in the top 10 for his position for multiple starts. I feel like Jesse's ceiling is, and I'll stand by what I said when we drafted him in the draft profiles, it could be Motlop Pocket. Do you know what I mean? He's that good. He just needs time. And you look at the development of his game. You look at year one, Voss deployed him as that defensive-minded forward. He wasn't really expected to kick goals. Then you look at it this year, always been taken, just kick goals, don't do the defending. Motlop has been on par with him per game for goals per game, and done well on the tackles inside 50 and chances created from pressure acts. I feel like he's added so many layers, and he's probably going under the radar, which is a good thing. And I think this year, the third year is usually the year that you know. Do you know what I mean? You're either going to be a star or you're going to be lights out. I feel like he's going to be a star. I'm a big fan of Jesse, and feel like Ashton coming in helps him as well. You look at Ashton's highlight reels and his ability to hit up the pocket forwards and give them freebies. I reckon this could be Jesse's year, and he's got an important year, because I feel like if Jesse's playing well, it helps Harry. Because it takes the pressure off Harry.
Yep. When I did the preview, I zoomed out on his year. If you look at the cycle of everything that happened, you've got strong-ish start, contract extension, form slump / confidence dip, gets dropped, comes back late as a late inclusion, stars in that first half against Port Adelaide, kicks 4 goals, doesn't get dropped from the team from that moment onwards, kicks 2 goals in all bar 3 games for the rest of the season from the Port Adelaide game onwards, plays in a prelim. It's a lot to be giving a second year player, and in a positive way.
Yeah. And I think 2 comments here that nail it. Christian's obviously, Bugsbow, the mid time in the VFL, and as a junior football, we know Voss likes that. So I can see that being an option. And Lou, I think, nails it. Fantasia, I think he's a huge asset. And go back to what I said about J-Sauce. We've had no pressure on the toes for 2 years. Hopefully we can generate that with J-Sauce. The small forwards have been learning off each other, and they're kids. And no disrespect to Owies, But this isn't his natural game. This is something that's mechanical. He's been taught this. So his ability to pass on intel isn't very high because he's technically a kid himself. High-level football learning is the same as basically Motlop's. Motlop's probably more mature than him in learning. But Fantasia's been there, done it, seen it. He's wrote the T-shirt. He's got the cap. He's got the lollipop. And he's got the poster on the wall. And I think it shouldn't be understated Fantasia's ability to pass on that information. Because one thing you'll say about Fantasia, if you've watched him play his 99 games, is he's an opportunist. He knows where to be at any one time. His read, his body use is fantastic. All of these things, if he can teach Motlop half of it, bang, Motlop is a total player. Because my only weakness with Jesse Motlop at the moment is his naivety. And that's something that comes with age. He sometimes bites off more than he can chew. Or sometimes, worse still, he doesn't back himself enough. And you can see he's trying to do the team thing first. And you talked about Jesus playing with arrogance. Motlop needs to get a bit of an arrogance, because there's times where I watch him and think, you could have beaten that guy. You need to believe in yourself. You need to believe yourself. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Fant Dog can teach Motters, Durden, and Mr. Owies.
It's a good one there. Yeah.
I like Arazio. I'm all in on Pontasia.
Are you really?
I'm all in. I like him. I like the kid. Something about him.
I always knew he was a good player. It wasn't until I was listening to his press conference last week where he was talking about how often his body was breaking down, and he was saying he couldn't go a month without something happening up until the end of this year, where I think he played the final 8 games or something like that in the SANFL, 8 in a row.
He took the piss in the sandfall as well. He really did take the piss in some of them games.
Yeah. So if they're all fit, you picking Fantasia round 1?
100%.
Honestly,
outside of Kerno and Mackay, he's my first forward named, other than Martin. But as small forward, he's there. Round 1, give me round 0 or whatever it's called.
I'm thinking even more long-term. I'm thinking just get him right for round 15.
Mate, he's there to play. Round 0, he's playing.
Yeah.
Pontasia. You know what I love about him the most? You know what I love about him the most is watching him interviewed. He's so disinterested.
Yeah.
And that turns me on because he doesn't give a shit about the media. He's about football, business. Thank God for that. Get him out there versus them melts round 0 and watch Fantasia fly. Watch him. If he plays 15 games, legit, has to be 15 games, Carlton win the flag. He's the missing piece.
I like it. I like it. Now, you're a busy boy. You got to head off shortly.
Got 27 minutes. Mate, we talked about pressure. I'm built for pressure. Yeah, I am quite busy, actually. For those who are interested, we've got a very special guest on the Pommy and Oz channel. We've got a very special guest. We've managed to, well, the club has given us him. We haven't done anything. the club has given us access to a man with two very English names in Billy Wilson is joining us for a chat. So we're looking forward to welcoming Billy the Kid to the channel and learning a bit about him. We're gonna find out a lot about the little superstar, some off-field stuff. We've got some fun questions and some fun games where we might break his Carlton career with one question before it's even begun.
Well, Billy meets Uncle Pom. That's big. He could leave that interview with a nickname. And once you get a nickname, it's all over.
Yeah, we have to think of something like, usually in the UK, people who, and it's a really good nickname, but I feel like in 2023, it'll be misconstrued. But in the UK, genuinely, if you're called Billy, you're called Wiz. And if you're fast, you're called Wiz. So really, for me, Wizzer makes sense because he's got one of the fastest times in the combine. He's lightning quick and he's called Billy. it works. But I also believe Wiz, from my time on the streets, is also a jug colloquialism.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we look forward to watching that. That's for sure. Bugs Bell, grateful that Carlton saw what we lacked. Quality small goal kicker, speed, and our biggest issue over the last few years, ball use. They finally got it.
Spot on.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a compound effect pretty much since Nick Austin took over. Looking back now, let's say the last... How long's Nick Austin been at the helm? Is it four?
Over my shoulder. Yeah, Zach Williams was his first recruit, wasn't it? So that's what, four years ago?
Four.
Three,
so
yeah.
Zach Williams and Saad onwards, those years, all Nick Austin's...
Yeah, so Z Will was his. That was his first big signing. Because Saad was, as we know, was that big deal that we all complained about. But yeah, Nick Austin, he's been there forever now, hasn't he, Nick Austin? Like, yeah. Actually, you forget, don't you, that Sauce has been gone forever. But it was, what, 2020, wasn't it? Yeah, 2020's window was the first time he was there. So
Zach Williams' first year.
Yeah, people forget as well. You know what upsets me about Nick Austin? People always have a crack at him, but people forget that he built the Tigers list. So 2012 to 2018, that was Nick Austin. Do you know what I mean? Nick Austin was the recruiting officer and then the list manager. Do you know what I mean? So he did that. Then he did the doggies. Like, the guy is... Give Nick Austin some props. Guy's a genius.
Give him some credit. Fair? Yeah. I like the peculiarity in which he attacks the draft. And I also really appreciate there's not too much noise around what Carlton are going to do since he's come around. And I guess that just comes with the territory. Sauce is just an attraction. There's so much history there. But I really do enjoy how low-key Nick Austin keeps it.
Well, you look at them, Dodoro, Sauce, that old school, the old way to do things is talk about it and use the media. It's kind of like collateral to wedge people open, to wedge the door open. You look at the real successful list managers, particularly in the last 5-6 years. You look at Collingwood, hate to mention them on a Carlton show, but Schultz, request the trade Friday, Monday morning is a pie. Mm-hmm. Where Carlton have had the similar structure with their deals. They've got it done quick. You heard Gold Coast say very early on, Carlton have got this offer. They've met us. We're just trying to assess what that looks like in the back end. And then that trade happens and it made sense. So that's what the good list managers do now. The list managers are all very private. You look at the best teams in the league, hardly any of them do interviews. Hardly have any of them make themselves known. It's all respect, honour and integrity. And Nick Austin, yeah, you know, full credit to him. Sauce, yes, he built the list with numerous first-rounders. Nick Austin has probably had the hardest part. He's putting the icing on. He's putting the little fondant roses, candles in. Yeah, and look at what he does. He goes out and buys clusters of players. And you know what? Both of them will have a big part when we win a flag. And I hope, part of me hopes Sauce gets invited. When we win 17, I hope the club are humble enough to bring Sauce in. And
yeah,
whether he accepts it or not, that'll be on him and it'll say a lot about him, in my opinion. But I'd definitely be extending that olive branch and saying, look, thank you for coming. Thank you for doing it. But fair play to Nick. He had a lot of work to do. He had a lot of work to do when he came here because the fact Cowan hadn't signed a winger for 10 years is barmy.
Hey, I saw something on, I think it might have been Twitter recently, about the proposed changes to the father-son / academy bidding. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, I want to underline this because people have misquoted it, which is amusing when the first sentence of the article told people it wasn't going to happen this year. But the AFL agreement on anything to do with trade and draft, it works in 2-year cycles. Why? Because the AFL pick 2 years in advance. You can sell your future picks. So it was specified that any changes would incur after the 2024 trade period, which means the Camporellis will not be affected by these changes. But As for the changes, as usual, the AFL hasn't told us what them changes are. They're just, it sounds like it's an information exercise at the moment. And as we know, a lot of clubs complained, one of them being master manipulators of this, Western Bulldogs, which Luke Beveridge continuing the doggies trend of talking a lot and being very hypocritical while they talk. But I do think what you'll see is they'll have a rule of you've got to have a pick within a certain amount. I think that's what the AFL are going to do. Obviously, they need to do something because when this Tassie side come in, if this keeps happening, and I researched the draft 2 years in advance, there's about 40 players between both of them in the top 50 of the next 2 years. So do the maths, 40 players out of 100 players potentially are going to be in this NGA academy type setup. That's a lot of players out of 200, 40 out of 200.
What's yeah, wow.
That's a lot. That's what, just under 40%. So when Tassie come in, you imagine that they're getting 10 first rounders for the first 2 years, right? Plus NGAs and father and sons. You could effectively finish 18th in the ladder and have pick, based on that, pick 20.
Well, yeah, right.
So they're going to have to do something, because I'll tell you what now, there's two teams I look at and I actually laugh at their list management if they don't have a big trade period next year. But Geelong and Richmond are completely fucked when Tasmania come in. Completely cut. Like, I'm talking disintegrate, start again. They'll be bottom two for the next 10 years.
Yeah, right. Well, we've got a...
Voila. Yes.
We've got a little got a little cameo appearance. Mr. Sebastiani from the SES.
Oh, you're Tottenham in disguise. Ah, you're Tottenham. Ah, you're Tottenham. Ah, you're Tottenham in disguise. Top of the league, mate.
Do you just kick him off?
No, I didn't. I tried to get us all here. My bad. League,
Paolo, you've got Paolo, you've got some shit on your shirt underneath your left shoulder.
Here we go. I'm back. Just keep me there.
Gotcha. We're here.
I'm good, mate. We're on an ad break during work at the moment, so I've got like 3 minutes and 50 seconds with you all. It's about as long as Pommy lasts, I think.
What is on your mind in 3 minutes?
Have you announced the details for the Christmas party?
We have.
Okay.
We have this week,
very,
9th,
very
3
keen,
p.m.
Mate. I'm very keen. I'm very, very keen. Have a cold frothy with the lads and ladettes, which would be a lot of fun.
I'm glad we got it done. I'm glad we got it booked in. Norton's were very, very good. Very good. I said we were Carlton fans. They remembered us. We used to film there. And shout out to Laura, who works there. She just found a time for us. And yeah.
Big loss.
Shout out to Laura. Yep. Big shout out to Laura. How's the chat been going? Shout out to everyone in the chat. Sending my love. Love for the love.
Very good. I'm about to play the clip. Maybe once you leave.
I'll give it a pop-up. I'll give it a
go for it. What have you got for us tomorrow?
We're back tomorrow for a little sign in, sign out before Christmas and New Year's. So it'll be the last one we do until the week before the season. So there you go.
Wow.
We're going to sign in, sign out. We've got a handful of guests coming on, which is going to be fantastic. So the lads are up and about. There's also a bit of new love on the horizon as well with the jumper punch. So I reckon that might get a bit of an announcement on the other side too.
New love? What does this mean?
No. I can't say anything, mate. I can't say anything. This is not my area to say. So, yeah.
I've got a question there.
Did I
hear right? You're taking time off from now till what? The first week of March?
With regards to the jumper punch, yes.
Fucking hell, you need to change your initials from JP to PT part fucking time.
Hey, no, don't worry. We'll be doing plenty of work from now to
Jesus,
there,
you only stream when you want to. Stream when you want to.
Hey, mind you, I was watching that. I know this is an AFL show, but that match between City and Tottenham last night, God, they did us gooners a favour. I'll give you the tip, mate.
Yeah.
I'm still wiping the grime off myself from half celebrating Tottenham goals. It actually made me sick, but anyway.
Honestly, I don't think I've enjoyed myself watching something on the internet for a long time since I was a single man. Watching Haaland lose his rag. How good is that? I hook that into my veins.
You know what we need to do? Someone needs to start a no context AFL memes page on Twitter. So someone needs to begin that. Someone needs to start that. Like the first bit has to be Michael Voss talking about tomato sauce in a press conference and just put it up.
And start from there.
No context. Mate. Just no context. Just put it up.
Could be a no context BA. There's a lot of no context sentences that get said on this channel.
Imagine that. Oh God. No context BA. That could be all time.
Yeah,
baggers, mate. Big open training session next Saturday. So get down there and I'll see you lads on Saturday, will I?
Yes, you will. 3 p.m. Norton's. See you then, my friend.
Love for the love. Enjoy the show tonight. And tomorrow, 7 p.m. We're on. Be there, be square.
Love it. Have a good night, brother.
Love. See you guys.
Boo-boo. See you here, mate. All right. Well, speaking of tomorrow, this is what we're talking about.
We're back.
We are back.
It's for one time only.
One time
before
only.
Before the end of 2023, we are back for a one-off
We've got to
show.
Finish it off. We had the kicking comp with Ange.
One.
Huge.
Yep.
We've got the winner of the hamper coming in.
Two.
We've got other special guests.
Three.
Will come in. We've got Rocco Drano. It's going to be a huge ride. I'm out to get somebody. We've got the normal. Oh, and a big pause call. I got a surprise there.
You've got a surprise for me.
Yes, I got a surprise for you.
Tuesday, 7 p.m. We're back.
Live.
Live. Like, subscribe, comment, chat, live chat. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a huge one. It's our sign in for Christmas and our sign out.
100%.
That's 2023.
In and out.
It's going to be the three big lads. Rocco, oh, yeah. Mars, and I, plus two others. Sorry, plus three others.
No, there'll be three
others. Plus three others. Going to be a big one. Again, like, subscribe, comment. See you on Tuesday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
See you then. It's Tuesday. 7 p.m.
Be there,
B-square. What time are they starting again?
Be there, B-square.
Be there, B-square. Ur, with a little parting gift for you, Pommy. 3-3, Man United. Good game.
It was a great game. It was a great game, I suppose. If I was a neutral or a Galatasaray fan, I'd be happy. Did I leave my house in the morning swearing a lot? Yes, I did. But no, it was a good game and we didn't deserve to win. I think Galatasaray probably deserved to win that, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I saw the highlights. That's about it.
Heartbroken. I'm just a heartbroken man. And this has become a football show just to depress me, hasn't it?
I know. It's football abroad. All right. Well, guys, that'll do us for tonight. Just a final reminder. I will remind you next week. There's your link for the giveaway, for the raffle. So one ticket gets you a chance. We're going to do two spins of the wheel. First spin will give away the Carlton Guernsey signed by Corey Durden. Second spin will be the big one, the bomber jacket. I think the maximum entries is 10. So get your tickets. Pommy, good luck tonight, mate. Not that you'll need it, but looking forward to seeing and meeting Billy.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing the big Bill Dog. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, he's got some good chat. I often have to drag it out of him, but he'll be full of bants.
Yeah. Good stuff. Go get it. Ladies and gents, have a great night. Go Blues. See you next week.
Go Blues.